Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners. This is, has been a long time coming. It's something that, not to take any credit for, because there's a lot of people that invested a lot of time, but something I personally invested a lot of time and research and calling random people that could have been connected, and working with John Ray, who was or is still the attorney for the Gilbert family, and he put in his blood, sweat, and tears, even did his own symposium in New York, which I went to, you know, try to put out, and it was picked up by, like, New York Times was there, like, I spoke to them. It wasn't that many people, but it was mostly press, and then some victims that came forward, victims that are still alive, but that were victims too. I almost said gentleman, but that's the last word I would use. The man we're going to talk about today. This is the update, yet I don't believe full conclusion, to the Gilgo Beach murders and Rex Huerman. So I recommend, if you're not up on this story, going back to the prior episodes I did. It's easily searchable. It's the Long Island serial killer, Lisk, L-I-S-K, Gilgo Beach murders, Amanda Winkowski, Shannon Gilbert. There's ways to search for it. I did several episodes on it, and maybe we'll put it in the show notes, or we will put it in the show notes, which ones to listen to if you need to get caught up. There's also several other podcasts that have done work on this. It's really captivated, I think, America, and it's important that it did, because the victims could be considered, well, they shouldn't be, but, you know, snotty public opinion, like the less dead, if that makes sense. You guys know what I'm talking about. Like, they weren't as important because, you know, they weren't the blonde cheerleader. However, they are. They just got roped into whatever they got roped into, and they are beautiful people, and they deserve justice, and I think, and their families deserve justice, and I think that finally, too, as good as it's going to get for now, but I believe there's more. So let's get into that. This is going to be two parts on his confession, a little backstory to remind you guys about the hysteria, and also ignoring by the cops at the same time, hysteria by the public, ignoring by the cops, and a little bit on the victims. And again, if you want to go back and listen, I have full episodes on many of them. So, there are killers who rage, and then there are killers who wait, who build lives, families, careers, who sit in traffic, who get on the subway in New York City. They shake hands. They wear a button-down shirt. They pay taxes. And then disappear into something darker. That was Rex Huerman, a Long Island architect. He worked in the city. To work in the city and be an architect means you're fairly successful. Although, what you can see from his house, he was a bit of a hoarder, or either creating a distraction for what he was doing. But he was also a husband and a father. And prosecutors would later say a man who hunted women for nearly two decades. The case we now call the Gilgo Beach serial killings began like so many haunting American mysteries, with bones in the sand and silence stretched for years. But just recently, days ago, April 2026, that silence finally broke. And Greg, you know this from, you know, and again, I'm not trying to make it about me. I'm just saying, like, this is how much it affected people. Like, I got to know John Ray, who, you know, the attorney, and he's been on the podcast, and he's a good friend and a good man, and through this, because he basically, I mean, he's depicted in the TV show about it, but he basically went pro bono to help solve this or try to solve this.
Yeah.
And he, at certain points, like once we got introduced to each other via Amanda Winkowski's mom, Leslie, and I still think it's possible that she's connected, and we're going to go more into all of that. But like he even, you know, when I say contracted me, he didn't, I wasn't like paid or anything, but like we started comparing notes, and then I found a girl that knew Amanda right before she died. And she was also a victim of the Epstein ring. And we kept digging. And then that girl, who's a doll, started talking with me and John Ray at the same time and doing some research and divulging stuff. Like, it became a huge investigation. John Ray deposed one of the other people that were maybe supposedly involved. But again, we're going to go into that a little bit more in a second. But basically, what I was trying to say, Greg, is you remember for like 3 years straight.
Absolutely. Yeah, you were putting a lot of time and energy into this case, and it became, you know, very real. Yeah, John Ray, yeah, he didn't pay you, but he did call on you. You guys created a real friendship.
Yeah.
That still stands to this day. You've talked to him recently.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're truly investigating some leads that connected with other cases that you had, intel and contacts and informants in.
Yeah, and I thank you for validating that, because I also truly don't believe that it's over. I'm getting a little off track, but one of the things that I was trying to put together, well, fine, I'll just say it. I don't believe that these are the only victims of him. And I still don't believe that he's the only one. I guess we'll just continue on a little bit.
So he's part of a ring.
I don't know exactly what it is. But the reason why, because I hadn't been paying attention to the news a ton recently. I really don't pay attention to the news a lot. I pay attention to what I'm researching. But other people pay attention for me, like not even on purpose, but like they knew how much time and effort I put in. So Gina, who's one of our co-investigators on Deadly Diocese, our other podcast, which also weirdly sort of connects to the, it's hard to explain, but you got to listen to all
this
stuff.
New York, whether it's Western New York or...
Yes, but Amanda Winkowski knew Father Joe.
No, I know. I'm saying there's some real connections.
Yes,
like, you
and
know,
Amanda
York's...
Winkowski knew one of the Gilgo Beach victims.
The underworld of New York is connected from, you know, sea to Niagara Falls.
Sea to Shining. No, that's one of the things that in my insane rabbit hole investigation was. So one of the original people... at least John Ray suspected, and a lot of people suspected. I mean, I'm not outing him because it was me that discovered him. He's been depicted on TV shows and the news, is a man by the name of Peter Hackett. And again, I'm not going to go totally into who he is. I encourage you to go back and listen to the episodes, but he was one of the first people suspected. He allegedly, like, took Shannon in, and then they proved that he had called to threaten the family, whatever. He's since moved to Florida. But the day after, I think it was when Shannon Gilbert was found, he said he would go to speak to the police, but then made a break for it and allegedly went to go visit his daughter in Arizona. Who knows? But Rex Huerman, also in Arizona and Las Vegas, not that far away. He owned a condo in Las Vegas. He traveled back and forth, whatever. This, like, there's a lot of, there's more that goes into it. And again, you'd have to listen to other episodes. Or maybe I didn't even air the conversations that I had for hours and hours. But one of the things I wanted to do was see, because Greg and I had driven for Deadly Diocese. We had driven from Indianapolis, where his parents lived, to Buffalo and back before. We've also driven from Indianapolis to the West Coast, back, all that. So we know that there are toll roads, like the entire route, basically. And one of the things I wanted to do was see where, like, and if Peter Hackett hit each of those stops. And if Rex Heuerman, around the same time, like, went to his Las Vegas condo, like, part of me still believes that there's a connection. And so when I brought up Gina from Deadly Diocese, she texted me when this got found out, what, yesterday or the day before. And she sent me, like, a Reddit link of someone's theory that... So it's a Reddit thread that's called the, basically, Lisk Killer. And the headline says, "I feel like this is exactly what he wanted. Long Island's most notorious serial killer will help the FBI figure out what makes his sick mind tick. Part of his chilling plea deal in 8 cold case slayings," officials said Wednesday. "The stipulation that Gilgo Beach serial killer Rex Heuerman, 62, will sit down with the agency's behavioral analysis unit comes along with a promise that he'll serve 3 life sentences without the chance of parole when he goes back in front of the judge on June 17th for sentencing in the gruesome murders of 8 sex workers dating back to 1993. They're going to interview the defendant, gain insight into his motivations and background as a sort of academic and scientific exercise," Suffolk County District Attorney Ray Tierney told reporters.
Insurance isn't one size fits all. That's why drivers have enjoyed Progressive's Name Your Price tool for years now. With the Name Your Price tool, you tell them what you want to pay, and they'll show you options that fit your budget. So whether you're picking out your first policy or just looking for something that works better for you and your family, they make it easy to see your options. Visit Progressive.com. Find a rate that works for you with the Name Your Price tool. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So I read that Reddit thread. It's a screenshot that Gina had sent me. And I respond. Also, I was kind of in the middle. My parents were in town and I was in the middle of doing stuff. So I read it and I was surprised. But it is kind of weird sometimes when, like, you haven't worked on something in a while, how, like, you don't realize how invested you were. You know, I was just like, I was able to kind of put it out of my head just a little bit. But I did say, wow, I bet he will love every second of that. What a vile human. I said, but at least hopefully he can help them solve future crimes or murders, that is. And then she said, this is the theory I want to tell you that at least she's put out there. She said, "I think he made a deal to keep the case from going to trial and expose the network you uncovered." Not because of me, but other people have kind of uncovered this, or many people have.
That's a good theory. I mean, it's kind of, yeah.
So then she says, so I said, "I bet he confesses to more." And then I said, "Possibly."
But it'll all
but
be
I think that he only
under
I think
wraps.
Well, her next response was, "I guarantee he's in the redacted Epstein files."
Oh, there you, you know, most likely. Which
you never know.
This is what, you know, I wanted to tell you about and bring up is, like, you know, of course these things are always connected and interwoven, mm-hmm. in ways that you're just like, no, you know, doesn't mean every pedophile is connected to Epstein. And
well,
then it doesn't
true.
Always run up all the way to the White House. Well, I watched SNL and this is how I found this out, because they were making fun of Melania's like immediate and kind of random emergency press conference where she's like, "I'm not associated to the Epstein files. You know, mm-hmm. he didn't do this, didn't do that." But apparently she mentioned the Giggle Beach murders, which I wanted to ask your opinion about, and like, it really surprised me. I haven't been able to research or investigate this much.
Well, what's crazy is, I mean, and we know this from our friend and co-researcher and informant of sorts, similar to Gina, Frank, that Epstein was allegedly seen at Geraci's nightclub or whatever it was called. What was it called? Oh, it was a strip club.
I can't remember, but I know.
It's a Geraci. Yeah. Which was where Amanda Winkowski was taken to and told that she needed to strip because Amanda was being trafficked. I know that. I've done enough research for, you know, she wasn't perfect, but she was a kid and they coerced her into stuff, and probably even the drug use was most likely. Listen, you can't coerce a 50-year-old man. A 15-year-old girl can be coerced. Like, that's all I'm saying. And she was a beautiful, good kid, and she could easily be connected to this. So basically, Epstein was, I wouldn't say a regular necessarily, but allegedly went to this strip club. The same one that Amanda started bawling and she couldn't go on stage. Former dancers there had told her mom, Leslie, all about it. I think even her sister knew about it. So Epstein was a patron there whenever he was in town, apparently, according to some sources. The girl that essentially trafficked Amanda into sex work, but she didn't out of her, she'll feel bad for the rest of her life, and it wasn't her fault because she was basically being held at gunpoint by her traffickers. Admittedly has told me that she's a victim of the Epstein ring. She's so traumatized it takes her a long time to divulge information, but she's an absolute doll. Anyways, I'll get to the point. So Epstein is kind of linked to the Gilgo Beach thing, A, because of New York, but B, because he was linked to that strip club, and then Amanda was linked to that. Amanda is fully linked to victims of the Gilgo Beach murders. Melissa Bartholomew specifically. At least according to Amanda's mom, Leslie, and I have tried to, I've actually gone on all these like back page websites trying to see if it still exists. You can go back pretty far, but I don't know if you can go back far enough. But they were friends. Melissa Bartholomew and Amanda Winkowski. Both were murdered. Both were basically underage sex workers. And yeah, they both had a major connection. So it, and additionally, when Amanda went to Los Angeles for a quote unquote modeling job, was around the same time that Shannon Gilbert had been there. And then been, both of them had been in Vegas at around the same time.
So the seedy underworld of sex work and Backpage and sex trafficking and Jeffrey Epstein and all of his confidants, no surprise to anyone, could be connected from sea to shining sea. And it could have ties and its tangled tentacles all the way up into the White House. And you just kind of made that connection. So maybe SNL, actually, someone from SNL who's a writer listens to your podcast and got that idea. But apparently, I looked it up, Melania Trump didn't actually mention the Gilgo Beach murders in her random press conference. SNL's skit just made that up.
Oh, well, that's fair.
Because Rex Huerman also is big news right now, which is proof that it's big news since SNL used it in their skits. So
yeah.
But I love the fact that, you know, we could have just played role in the myth of that connection, and but you were able to actually kind of make a concrete connection, even though SNL was just...
They're just making jokes, and I get it. I'm a comedian too, but... But, yeah, no, it's very possible.
I'm glad I looked it up, though, because I just figured SNL was not making that part of their skit up. But, woo, close one. So, yeah. All, you know, that's only a joke, alleged fiction from SNL, and this podcast is not on the hook.
Thank you for the ad.
Insurance isn't one size fits all. That's why drivers have enjoyed Progressive's Name Your Price tool for years now. With the Name Your Price tool, you tell them what you want to pay, and they'll show you options that fit your budget. So whether you're picking out your first policy or just looking for something that works better for you and your family, they make it easy to see your options. Visit Progressive.com. Find a rate that works for you with the Name Your Price tool. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I kind of want to leave it on that cliffhanger a little bit. We're just going to do a short episode right now. I was planning to make melting pot fondue for dinner. I had a whole thing that I had planned, but now it's getting late.
Just to heat up her cauldron.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
By the way, Rachel is sitting here in a Valentino butterfly cape.
Yeah, that I got at Crossroads, and I had almost had a panic attack.
A leopard print dress.
And Nike sneakers. But, no, the story of this cape, I could never afford a $7,500 Valentino wool cape with butterflies on it. But I knew the high price of it because I had a very wealthy friend who had purchased one when she was cold when we were in Boston. That was how casually she could purchase. And I was like, I had it gone to Goodwill. But anyways, I knew the prices of these based on experiencing her purchase that. And I went into Crossroads in West Hollywood to sell like some of my jeans and just, I mean, I have nice clothes, like sell some of my stuff. And I walk in and I see this coat hanging like up above, like they put the fancy stuff up above, like on the second, I don't know, it's like displayed on the wall. And I was like, oh my God, that must have just came in and they have no idea that that's,
it was brand new.
It had a tag on it and they had it listed for $175. I was like, that jacket's the price of a car. If I act natural, I can get out of here alive and with the jacket.
Rachel ran home as if she had robbed somebody.
Well, here's what I did.
And she did.
I turned in my clothes that equaled like $85 in like store exchange. Or I could get like $120 in cash. Or it's less in cash, more in store exchange. Yeah. Who knows?
You paid like $65.
Yeah, and I was like, I'll take the store exchange, just take my clothes. I'd like that blue jacket, the little blue jacket on the wall. Nothing fancy. Just it's probably from the Gap. I see. Hey, I'll take that, and here is $65, $75. I can't remember how many dollars, and thank you very much, and I'll be back.
Didn't even have to hold them up.
Yep.
But it was a great robbery.
Yep. It's the cheapest. If I ever fall on more hard times, this is my stock. My purse stock. I have scratch. Okay, we're going to hang up now, but if I could give the youth of America some advice, there is stock in buying used purses, holding on to them. Some people have regular Wall Street stock. Some people have vintage purse stock that someone...
That's what Rachel's got.
Yes. Additionally, I recommend scratch-off tickets. If you sprinkle them around... You never know what can happen. And that's my financial portfolio and my advice to you.
Don't listen to Rachel on financial advice. This is not a financial advice podcast. This is a magic good witch podcast.
Mm-hmm. And that's the quality you can expect from us. And thank you so much for listening. We're going to do more The next episode is going to be more the behavioral analysis and that whole history of someone like Rex and like how I can imagine it's going to help. But we'll talk about it.
I feel like, yeah, he's so egotistical, though.
He's probably going to enjoy it.
And it's like, a
he's reliving
thing
it. And it's disgusting.
He's keeping a trial from happening, from exposing people, and then, yeah, probably getting
pleasure. And you know that there's more. You know that there's more. That's not... Whatever. I know there's more. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star rating and pause the review on Apple Podcasts. And we'll see you in like a day.